do this. I purposely put that video before I spoke because I knew I'd be crying if I came up here after that song. Did you like that? Did you appreciate the power of that song, of what a beautiful name it is, and then Holy, 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 or Agnus Dei? But that was a powerful video as well. And our message this morning is growing in gratitude, because there are so many people who are not thankful. And I wanted you to answer that question as you watched all those different people being thankful for drinking water, for someone giving them the first Bible. I was really struck with the one that says, my family came to visit the nursing home. We were just there Wednesday night. They forgot that we were coming, so only a few people came down. But just thinking back to that time we were there last month, and we will be going back there the week before Christmas, by the way, so the 18th. We're going to plan on going, so everyone can make it out. We're just going to, Carlene played the piano, we're just going to do some caroling and just be there with the people. I want to see if they'll let us bring some maybe sugarless candy and some different things for them. But please plan on being with us on the 18th. It's a real ministry, an opportunity to minister to those people. But so many of them said, no one comes to visit me. It was a lady from Millerton said her son lives in her house, and she has a son that I think lives out in Iowa or something. And she said, he'll come a couple times a year. And she said her daughter lives nearby, and she'll come every couple of months. But she said, the son who moved into my home has never visited me once in 8 years. And so many times, you know, everyone has said that so many people over at Broad Acres have no one visit them. So if you want a ministry and you want to be appreciated, do that. Go visit nursing homes. Just stop in. Just walk past people and just stop and talk to them. I don't mean walk past, but walk through and stop and talk to them, and just let them know that they're not forgotten. But we have so much to be thankful for. And the question is, are we a thankful people? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just bless our time this morning. Thank you for that, again, that song. It's just ministered to me this entire week, and for my friends who reposted it, and the comments as I've looked on their page and saw the comments that were shared to them, just people saying they've cried, it gave them chills, and just to think about the awesome God that we serve. And we thank you for the wonderful, beautiful, and powerful name of Jesus, and we pray, Lord, that we would be aware of that name this morning as we look at your word. We pray that you would bring comfort even right now to Maureen and touch her and help her to know inside there that people are praying for. Thank you, Lord, for when I posted this week, a friend of mine from New Jersey said that her entire school, the staff prayed at lunchtime for Maureen, and not even knowing her. And just thank you for people who've checked in to see updates, and just thank you for the power of prayer. Well, Lord, we're thankful that all the prayers come to you, and we're thankful for that name. We pray you just bless us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Max Lucado tells a story about a young boy when he was visiting Brazil. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he said as he was walking down the street to teach a university class, he felt a little tug on his leg. And he said he turned around, he saw a boy of about 5 or 6 years old with dark, beady eyes and a dirty little face. And the boy looked up at Max Lucado and said, "Bread, sir." He said, "It was a beggar little boy." And Lucado said, "I never give money. I never give anything to people." He said, "There are always little beggar boys in the streets of Brazil. Usually I turn away from them because there are so many, you cannot feed them all." If you've ever been to a foreign country, they told us that in Brazil, don't give them anything that you won't ever move because the group will surround you. Same within Africa when we were there, and same in China. They have little children coming up. He says, "Usually I turn away. But there was something so special and compelling about this little boy that I couldn't turn away. So taking his hand, I said, 'Come with me.' So I took him into a coffee shop, and I told the owner, 'I'll have a cup of coffee and give the boy a piece of pastry, whatever he wants.' He said, since the coffee counter was at the other end of the store, Max said, I walked over and got a cup of coffee, forgot about the little boy for a moment, and saw him usually the beggar boys usually get out of bread and then run back out of the street and disappear. So he said he thought that's what would happen. But he said, this boy didn't. After he got his pastry, he went over to Max and said, he just stood there for a moment, and Max looked in his eyes, and he said, I looked at him, standing up, his eyes were just about at my belt level. Then slowly his eyes came up and met mine. He said, a little boy holding a pastry in one hand looked up and with a big smile said, 'Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.' Lucado said, I was so touched by the boy's thanks that I thought you would have thought I bought him the entire store. He said, I sat there for 30 minutes and forgot about my class I had to teach. He said, I was just thinking about a little boy who said thank you, because it's so rare. And I want you to think about that this morning. He said this little boy had an attitude of thankfulness, and he expressed it. And if we have this attitude of gratitude, it should be seen. People should know that we are thankful people. We should have joy in our hearts, and it should come out of our mouths. And an attitude of gratitude should be really important. It's vital for Christians to have that. But so many times we don't. And I wonder, as I was working on this last month, just kind of working ahead and working on this message, I was wondering, what's happened to thanks? What's happened to manners? It used to be children were instructed in their home and taught in their home and modeled in their home. When someone does something for you, you say thank you. It should just be automatic. I don't remember ever having my parents, well, maybe when I was really little, having my parents have to say, now, Ron, what do you say? We've had to say that to our own children, and it's amazing. Even in school, as I substitute, and the teachers who are here would say that, and certainly the students. Let's take a sidebar for a minute. I taught at the high school on Friday, and a girl that we know really well, I'd heard that she was having a rough year, so I went up and I asked her. I said, I heard your year is tough. She goes, Mr. Hagee said, it's the worst year ever. She said, it's amazing how rude people are. And that's kind of along with what we're talking about, but just rudeness. What happened to common decency? When I'm at the school and someone does something for someone, as a matter of fact, they have it at the middle school. They have a wall by the Hornet. If you hear someone doing something, you write it up and they'll take a picture of the kid and they'll say what they did, because it's so rare today that someone does anything. I was there. I wrote up my first one a couple of weeks ago. Boy, I was in the art room, and there was a ramp kind of up the way there. These girls know where it is. And a guy, one of the boys, was pulling he brings a suitcase every morning to school. That's kind of his backpack. And he was kind of having trouble with it. He was holding something else in his hand. And a bigger kid came over and said, can I help you with your stuff? And I said, Jake, I really appreciate you doing that. I said, that's so rare. So thank you. So I wrote him up, and his picture's up on the wall now. But it's so rare now that they have a wall dedicated for someone who does something nice, because it's not seen too often. Somewhere we've grown out of the custom of being polite. And I want you to try to be honest with yourself. Do you see Christians, and don't have to answer this out, but do you think Christians are any different than the unsaved world? Do you think believers in we know they should be. I'm not asking that. In practicality, do we see Christians being any different than the unsaved? I wish I could say yes, but I don't think we are. I believe most people that I have contact with, most Christians, I would say, most are grateful people, but we don't express it regularly too often. Believers come across as being rude, uncaring, and very unpolite people. I've talked to a number of people who serve in public service. My son's one out in California. But a lot of people, they say that Christians who leave tracks, what are they, the best tippers or the worst tippers? What do you think? A Christian who leaves a track for a waiter, they a good tipper or a bad tipper? Bad tipper. They say Christians who leave the big show, not I shouldn't say big show, but make a point of leaving a track for the server, very often leaves terrible tips. And as they said, it's a joke amongst the staff, oh, you've got the Christian. And that should not be that way. Folks, Christians should be known as being joyful, of being generous, of being thankful. So we're going to look at some things, some practical ways first, and then we're going to look at some scriptural mandates about being grateful. So number one, practical ways to grow in gratitude. Number one, express it. Express it. This is just something, again, we're trying to teach our kids to do it. Say the words, thank you. I appreciate you for being that, and that's what these are out. I handed out a bunch of them this morning. If you didn't get one, it's because I didn't expect you to be here today. But I wrote for almost everybody, I think, who are here today, a thank you note. I just wanted you to know, and it's a very simple thing, and I should be getting in the habit of doing it more throughout the year, but these are back there. I tell you, it means something. It means something to me. Maybe it doesn't mean anything to you, but I appreciate getting those things, letting people know, or having people let me know that they appreciate something. They appreciate ministry. They appreciate Carlene and all the work she's doing on the Christmas thing. Let people know what you appreciate. Express it. Let people know that you are thankful for them. So that's an easy one, but something we're not very good at doing. Express your gratitude. Number two, write it down. And I don't mean write it down on a note, but write it down someplace you will remember. Because I have young people and even adults, I mean, people aren't very nice to me. Nobody ever does anything for me. And then we'll try to help them think about something that someone has done for them. Oh, yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, they did that. But journal it. Write it down. Put it in your phone. I have a phone, and I still am just learning. Like, if I have a meeting at the teen center or something, I'll try to remember to enter it in so it reminds me on a Saturday morning or the Friday night before that I have a meeting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock at the teen center. Because if I don't write it down, my memory is not what it used to be, I don't think. But if I don't write it down, even sometimes if I do write it down, I forget. So I try to put it on my phone if I think about it, because at least that beeps. And then I'll wonder what the beep is, and I'll just turn it off. But write it down. Learn ways to try to remember it. Learn to find out so you can be encouraged when you look back and say, hey, yeah, these people did do some things for me. Journal. I keep a journal. I try to keep track of a lot of stuff. Probably 99% of the stuff that happens in the week to me, I forget. But the things that are real special, I mark it down in my journal so I can look back. And I have journals upstairs, and I look at them maybe every couple of years and just kind of flip through them. I don't look at every day. But it is really nice to be able to remember what people have done for you. So write it down. Third, look for it. Surround yourself with others who are grateful people. Let people know how much you appreciate them saying thank you. Like I said, the boy at school, I went up to him right away and I said, I want you to know how rare that is to see you offer help to someone. And he even said thank you for recognizing it. But I tell people at school, students at school, when they say thank you, Mr. Hager, they say thank you to a student, I say, wow, that's great. That's so rare. You don't hear it often today. But look for it. Look for people who are thankful and hang with them, because their attitude will eventually, hopefully, wear off on you. And you'll become more of a thankful person than what you are right now. But surround yourself with others who are grateful. Number four, share it. Let others know that you are thankful for them. It's kind of like we said about expressing it. It might not be a specific act. It might not be something that stands out in your mind or in their mind that they've done for you. But just ahead, I just want to thank you for your smile. I just want to thank you that you're always positive. I said that to a few girls last year, moving up from 8th grade into 9th grade. And Maddie was part of that class, and she can tell you there are some pretty nasty attitudes in that class. Matter of fact, some of the staff has talked about that. Maddie wasn't part of that group, but there were some who didn't have the most positive attitudes. And there were a handful of girls. I had them in class one day, and I just said, I just want you girls to know, I appreciate your smile. Because you're not miserable. You don't complain. You don't always say everything's negative. And you're not picking and bullying on anybody else. And because that's kind of the stuff that goes on in that in the school. Back up to Friday, I had three different kids tell me the kids were rude at the high school. I was a high school gym teacher. So the one who we know well here, another girl came up. I had a boy who just came to the school on Monday, so this was his fifth day at class, and he had just moved there, and I had him in Wellsboro online. I was in the library. I had to take attendance and just kind of sit with them and kind of make sure they're doing their work. And then I taught gym, and he was in my second period class as well. And my third period was my prep, and I heard this boy get called to the office. Fourth period, a kid who comes to the teen center said, Mr. Hagen, did you hear so-and-so get called to the office? I said, yeah. I said, he's new. I just had him the first two periods. And he said, he's the nicest kid, but he said he just got a haircut, and kids in the commons, the room down there, are making fun of him, saying he looks like a cancer patient. And they're just being really rude to him, and he got really upset. And this boy said to me, he said, people are so mean. girl in the sixth period class was standing next to me. She had a medical excuse, and she was over talking to me. She just said, "Mr. Hagen," she goes, "she's being treated now for being suicidal. She's seeing a school counselor." And I said, "Are you really suicidal?" I know her from previous classes before. And she said, "I've thought about it. I've never planned it or tried anything." But she said, "People are just so rude." And she said, "A couple weeks ago, someone said stuff that was rude." And she goes, "I confronted them. And then I got in trouble with the teacher for being mean." And I said, "Well, you need to let the teacher know what was going on." But I said, "I just want you to know," I appreciate all of you guys. I just want you to know, please avoid that. I said, "If you ever need anyone to talk to, I know you have a counselor, but please come see me. I want you to know I care for you." So I try to let people know how much I appreciate them, even if it's something small. I've had students say, "Mr. Hay, just thanks for encouraging me." Not a big thing, but share it. And I appreciate when kids come back and let me know that. So share it with other people, too. Let people know that so-and-so is really good for you. Let people know what you've done, that they've done for you. And then number five, live it. Practice gratitude until it becomes a habit for you. We've all heard the term, develop an attitude of gratitude, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking to develop this attitude that we are grateful for everything that goes on in our lives. What does Scripture say? Well, we know this. Be grateful for everything. Be grateful for everything. Doesn't say some things. And this might be one of the most difficult things that we are told to do in Scripture. But we're commanded to do it. Let me read it. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering for you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him." Make sure I have the right verse up there. "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is to be hoped and what is called, and the riches of his inheritance in the saints." Be thankful for everything. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. Give thanks in all things, in all circumstances. Give thanks. Paul was saying, "I remember you with thanksgiving in my prayers," but we're also being thankful for everything. Remember when Paul wrote Scripture, where was he normally? Most of his letters, where were they written from? Prison. I'm reading a book called I Saw. Jenkins, what's his name? I can't remember his first name. He's writing a modern day thing that's kind of going on in Iran and Iraq from the Christian perspective. And each chapter he's going back and he's comparing it to Saul in prison. And the book was just talking about and again, we don't know how bad it was, but we can imagine if we think prison's bad today, imagine how bad it would have been back in the first century, no heat and all that. But he was reminding, he called Luke. Luke came and he was translating some of the Scripture for Luke to write for him. And he says, verses that we know, he said, just tell them to be thankful in all things. And Luke's saying, you're sitting here, all this waste around you. He said, Luke was saying how he had to cover his face just to hear Paul spoke. And Paul came up and embraced him. Again, it's a novel. But Luke said to him, he said, Paul, you stink. And he said, Paul just kind of laughed and said, well, thank you. He said, I haven't had a bath in 4 months. But imagine that. Imagine Paul writing that and saying, give thanks in all circumstances. Keep that in mind. That's what Paul's saying. So we are told to be thankful in everything. Not some things, but be grateful for everything. Number two, remember God walks with you through everything. He's always present. And here's something else we need. We say it, but we often forget it. He's always good. All right? He's always present, and he's always good. That's what Psalm 46:1 says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I've shared this verse before. This was a verse that when my dad died that I got 3 or 4 cards, and our family did, but I got several personal to me, and probably 4 of them had Nahum 1:7 on it. I'd never remembered reading it before, but it said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. God walks with you through every circumstance. God is with Maureen this morning. It's not a circumstance that she would have chosen to go through, certainly not. The family wouldn't choose to go through it, but God is walking with her in that. He's a present help. Number three, peace comes with thankfulness.
When we express gratitude, he gets us through difficult circumstances.
That's what it says in Philippians 4:4-7. Let me read. I don't have the whole thing up here, or do I? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about everything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Okay? Let your requests be made known to God. And then, verse 7, after you make these requests with thanksgiving, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm not sure if all those things would be met if we didn't fulfill this whole verse. If we just prayed in prayer and supplication, would his peace be on us? I don't think so. When we pray with thanksgiving, let our request be made known to God, then his peace is with us. And then Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called, and be thankful. God blesses us when we express gratitude, when we live it out, when we express it, when we write it down, when we share it, when we look for it. God will give us peace. One of the questions I ask people when they come for counseling, or they or just talk about all the difficult circumstances they find themselves in, have you thanked God for it? Some will say yes. Some will say, no, I hadn't really thought about that. But if you want peace, if you want to see God work, if you want to see God meet a need, express gratitude. Even though it's hard, and you might not be 100% heartfelt when you hear the word cancer or whatever, sickness, or you get the financial statement at the end of the year and you realize you have taxes to pay, and you're like, how am I going to pay for this? Express gratitude. Say, God, I don't know why I'm saying I'm thankful other than you tell me to, but I want to follow your word and I want that peace that you promised. So I'm going to give you praise this morning for something I don't really understand. Be honest with me. Number four, thankfulness opens the door for evangelism. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever stop to realize that people are watching you? People want to know why you're thankful first, and then to whom are you thankful? How can you be thankful when you go through a situation like that? People will ask you. Lost people, I'm going to tell you, are drawn to grateful believers a lot more than they would be drawn to someone who's always wearing a frown, who's always complaining, who's always down, who's always grumbling about their lot in life and where God has put them, and God just doesn't bless me anymore, and look at all the stuff I've got to bear. Thankfulness opens the door for evangelism. We're told this in Psalm 92, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt you. I will exalt your praise to your name, O Lord Most High. 2 Corinthians, I don't have this up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. When we're thankful, when I give thanks to God, that aroma spreads out. All right? God uses that to bless people. And then Colossians 3:16-17, let the word of God, Christ, dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness and with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He's saying, let the word of God dwell in you, and people are going to see it. All right? It's going to open the doors for people to ask you questions of how can you be so thankful. And then number five, the final one, there's always something to give thanks for. There's always something to give thanks for. It's the mark of a Christian. It's the mark of a believer. People look at believers and know that there should be something different about us that they're not seeing anywhere, or everywhere anyway. They're not seeing many believers being thankful and giving praise to Jesus Christ. Count it all joy. I have that underlined at the top. Count it all joy, my brothers, when we fall into various trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
And here's something else. Just thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. God, I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve the Holy Spirit. I don't deserve to live in the country that I live in. In a couple weeks, next week, we're starting a Christmas series, Lord willing, on The King is Coming. And that's going to be our theme through the entire month. The King is Coming. He's coming to bring, because the prophets foretold it next week, on the 8th, it's to provide salvation. And one of the things I'm looking at as he provides salvation is he's provided it for me. He provided salvation for me. And that's amazing to think that he loves me. And I can just say, God, I don't deserve what you give me. I don't deserve anything. I expect a lot more. We're good at expecting, aren't we? We think we deserve it, just like the world thinks. I'm entitled to everything. We don't deserve any blessings from God. But we can express thanks for this inexpressible gift. We can't even put into words what God has done for us. If we can't be thankful in our daily life, let's begin expressing thanks for our spiritual blessings. Okay? If we can't look at material things or physical things that God's done for us, start with the spiritual blessings. Start with my salvation. And then get more specific. God, I want to thank you for your presence. I want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you for your mercy. I want to thank you for your love. Because, God, I don't even like myself sometimes. And to think that you love me is unbelievable. I want to thank you for the forgiveness of your Holy Spirit in my life. I want to thank you for your faithfulness to me. I want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for things we looked at before. God, thank you for clean water. Thank you for clean air. Thank you for roads that we can drive on. Because if you've ever been in some other countries, I've said this before, we were in Brazil with the Keatons. You would drive down highways and you'd see these trees up in the middle of the road. And I asked Keaton, I said, what is going on? He goes, there's about an 8-foot hole there that no one's repaired, so they'll cut down a tree and stick it in. So the tree will be there
so people can see it, but people crash into trees. But you'll see trees all along roads because there's, you know, not potholes. I mean, they're holes. You'll lose your car. And I've thought about that so many times since I've come back. We complain about traffic. We complain about the highways. We complain about some of the roads we live on. We get mad when they don't rake our dirt road in front of our house. And then when they do rake it, or when they do come up, they do it when it's dusty and our house is filthy. So we complain about everything. We complain when they don't do it. We complain when they do it. And then we realize God is always good. But look on areas. Look for the big picture. Look for God in those things. As I think back to the beginning, what we talked about is Max Licato was surprised at a little boy saying thank you. Let's really make a commitment that we're going to make people be surprised today. We don't want people to feel like saying thank you and expressing it is something that's rare. Let's, as a congregation, let's, as an individual people, let's make it our practice so that people are more comfortable with it. Even if they seem a little uncomfortable in the beginning, let's make people more comfortable with it as we say it more often. We're going to close with another video. This is a motivational speech. You'll recognize it starts off with Denzel Washington and some other people just giving thanks. And then we'll have our closing song in a moment.